This is the Dave Ross Show on News Talk 710, Cairo. Now on 97.3 FM.
Hey, you want to go see the Seahawks and Niners opening day at Quest Field? Stay tuned. I'll have tickets for you before noon today here on the home of the Hawks. News Talk 710, Cairo and 97.3 FM. I'm Paul Harris, filling in for Dave while he takes a three-day weekend. He's exhausted from the four-day work week after a week of vacation, so he need, you know, give the guy a break. It's not possible on a stinking hot day like today to put in a full five-day week, so no, he'll be back in here on Monday. Let me introduce you to Catherine Albrecht. I actually talked to Catherine a couple of years ago when she came out with a terrific book called Spy Chips. It's not a novel, it's nonfiction, and some pretty scary nonfiction at that. The subtitle of the book, Spy Chips, is How Major Corporations and Government Plan to Track Your Every Move with RFID, that's Radio Frequency Identification Devices. Catherine, welcome to News Talk 710 Cairo and 97.3 FM.
Hey, Paul, it's great to be back with you.
Nice to talk to you. You had a protest this week about RFID in fashion, which I want to talk to you about. But for my listeners who may not be aware of it, let them know what the problem is with RFID and why you call them spy chips.
Yeah, well, you can start with the acronym RFID. The RF part stands for radio frequency. The ID part means identification. And what the technology is, it's tiny microchips hooked up to miniature antennas that can be read at a distance. And that distance can be anywhere from a couple of feet to maybe even 20 or 30 feet away. And up there in the state of Washington, we've got a real focus on your state because these tiny microchip devices that we call spy chips because of their surveillance potential are actually being offered to Washington State drivers as this new enhanced driver's license, making it possible for anyone with access to one of these readers to ID you from across the street.
It seems to me like there are inherent identity theft risks there.
Well, there's a huge problem. There's multiple problems with this. Because they use radio waves to transmit, RFID tags can transmit through the things we normally rely on to protect our privacy. So if you've got an RFID tag driver's license or maybe a product with an RFID tag on it or in it, and it's in your purse or your pocket or your backpack or you know, maybe even your underwear under your clothes, all of that transmits. So it's possible by walking through a doorway, for example, equipped with an RFID reader, that someone could get an inventory of literally every item that you're wearing and carrying, right down to the size and color of your underwear. The other problem with RFID is that these remotely readable microchips contain unique ID numbers that can be easily linked up with people's identity. So if you put one, for example, into the sole of somebody's shoes, and then that person unknowingly were to step on a reader device, they could read that tag, let's say in the carpet or under a floor tile, and they were able to capture that number. They could look it up in a database and say, aha, I just saw item 308247, et cetera, step on this floor tile. When I look it up, I discover that that is a pair of size 7 Nike running shoes sold to Catherine Albrecht at a Foot Locker store 6 months ago. There's a pretty good chance she was just standing in them and she just walked past. So there's a huge potential for tracking with this technology as well.
Since you first brought spy chips to people's attention with your book a couple of years ago, have they become more prevalent or have there been enough people speaking out about it that you've slowed things down?
Well, I think what's really shifted since our book came out has been the government adoption of RFID. And that's a piece that has virtually everyone in the privacy, liberty, and civil liberties communities extremely concerned. We know that this technology has immense potential for tracking by marketers. We know that government agencies could use it in unscrupulous ways to keep very close tabs on the public without their knowledge. And we also know that stalkers and thieves and muggers and others have their eye on this technology as well, along with identity thieves. So I think the government adoption of this technology is really where the biggest uptake has been. I'll give you an example. Over in China last year in 2007, China was the biggest RFID market worldwide because they put in an order for over a billion RFID tags to incorporate into mandatory national ID cards in China. And what these cards contain is a a staggering amount of personal information. They have information on people's health history, their reproductive history, their educational history, their employment history, even the name and number of their landlord. And if you have one of these things in your pocket and a Chinese communist official walks past, or an agent of the police department or whatever person is who has access to these records, they can simply walk past you and download all of that information without your knowledge. So it's really quite shocking.
Let me play devil's advocate for a second here, Catherine. I don't want to have to carry around all the stuff that I carry in my wallet, my driver's license, my Visa card, my MasterCard, my library card, my, you know, all the other things that I need, my insurance card, all of those. It would be so simple if I could just carry some much smaller device, like one of these RFID tags, and just stick that in my wallet with the few dollars that I carry around with me every day. And wherever I go, I just swipe that thing like a mobile speed pass, and I'm done.
Well, be very careful what you hope for, Paul, because the end point of that is the implantable RFID microchip. So you can consolidate all of that into a single number that represents you in every one of those databases, and you literally inject it into the flesh. And there is a company down in Florida called the Verichip Corporation that manufactures just such a device. It contains a 16-digit unique identifier. It's injected into the flesh with a big sort of an elephant gun-sized injector, and the idea there is you would just swipe your hand and the chip in your hand would transmit that unique ID number. Now, fortunately for people who may be getting a little bit creeped out at the prospect of that, I actually spent a year working with the Associated Press to get information out that we discovered that when the FDA approved the implantable microchip, they failed to review studies showing that over a 10-year period when they tested these devices on animals, on laboratory animals and mice in rats, they found that between 1 and 10% of them develop malignant, fast-growing cancers around the microchip. So I think that news took the stock value of the Verichip Corporation from a high of about $11 down to a low of about $1 a share. So it was fun watching 90% of the value deflate out of that technology. And I don't think they're going to be coming for us with that anytime soon.
It's News Talk 710 Cairo and 97.3 FM. Paul Harris filling in on the Dave Ross Show today, talking with Dr. Catherine Albrecht, author of the book Spy Chips and the director of Caspian, the Consumers Against Supermarket Privacy Invasion and Numbering. In that specific instance you're talking about, if Verichip were able to get implantable chips that didn't cause cancer and were medically okay, again, let's say I'm walking across the street or in a busy parking lot and I get hit by a car and I'm knocked to the ground. Nobody's with me who knows me. Ambulance comes. They want to take me to the hospital. They want to know if I've got any medical history of one kind or another. They want to know if I'm covered by insurance, et cetera, et cetera. I'm unconscious. You can't wake me up and find out who I am or get in touch with anybody who's related to me. Simply do that scan over my arm or my leg or wherever the thing is implanted. Boom, up pops all the information. Again, what's the downside?
Yeah, well, you're talking about the same way that this technology is used in dogs and cats nowadays. Of course, dogs can't talk and say who they are, where they belong, and so that's why they're injected with these microchips. A number of animals across the country have now had this procedure done to them. And it's kind of hard to put the cancer risk to the side, because with today's technology, it actually does pose a risk along those lines, even in dogs. We know of at least two cases where dogs have developed cancer around them. But putting that to the side, I really have to look at that from a human perspective, from just the dignity of human existence perspective. And I have to say that, you know, I, for one, don't want to be reduced to the equivalent of a barcodable, scannable package of meat. You know, I am more than a number. I don't like the idea that if someone wants to know who I am, that they can run the equivalent of a supermarket scanner across me and get a number. And, you know, it's kind of like, instead of feeling like you're just a cog in a database or just a number in a database, to accept that level of this technology really almost incorporates the databasification of yourself directly into your own body. And I think it's dehumanizing, and I think it really insults people's dignity to talk about people in that way.
Sounds a little bit like we're getting into the movie Gattaca.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. It really is. Absolutely.
Well, Catherine,
yeah, and I just wanted to mention real quick for people who'd like to read more about the cancer studies, and also I put together an 80-plus question FAQ so that anything people want to know, because we'll only have a few minutes in this interview, but if people would like to get really in-depth information on the VeriChip, they can go to our website at antichips.com and download a full PDF of those documents there.
Okay, I'm going to include some phone calls, if you don't mind.
Absolutely, be glad to do it.
Sure, listeners have questions here at 877-710-CHIRO. And by the way, my producer, Libby, just let me know that Washington State offers special protective sleeves to block those RFID transmissions on the advanced driver's licenses.
Well, one of the concerns that we have, and in fact, if you get a copy of September Scientific American, there's an article in there that I authored specifically about the Washington State ID cards and the sort of the trend worldwide towards putting these remotely readable microchips into identity documents like driver's licenses. The idea behind that card is that for people who cross the border into Canada regularly, that this card would facilitate their crossing. And here's how it works. You would take the card out of your wallet, you would put it on your dashboard, and as you approach the border crossing station, it could be read from about 20 feet away. And as you actually, you know, sort of waiting in line behind the car in front of you, when you actually drive up to the station, the unique ID number in your card would have enabled the border agent to pull up a full record, and they'd have your photograph already up on the screen by the time you get there. Now, that may sound convenient, but when you look at the vision of others who would very much like access to these kinds of cards or like us to carry these kinds of microchips around, that's when the really chilling part comes in. And let me give you an example. We discovered in putting together the research and writing the book Spy Chips that IBM had developed something they call a person tracking unit. Horrible name. And what the person tracking unit is it is a series of RFID reader devices embedded in the environment, in doorways and walls, ceiling tiles, floor tiles, literally everywhere you go. And as people walk by, these person tracking units would silently and invisibly scan them, identify them, track where they go, how long they linger in certain locations, with whom they're associating as they walk around, even looking inside of people's pockets and backpacks and purses and doing a full inventory of everything that they're wearing and carrying. And more disturbing still was the list of places where IBM would like to incorporate this technology, both for marketing purposes and, they also said, for law enforcement to be able to track people. And the list was truly shocking. They said sports arenas, shopping malls, museums, theaters, libraries, even elevators and public restrooms. So imagine you walk into the bathroom, you hang your backpack on the hook, and there's a reader device behind the tile scanning it and scanning you and timing how long you're in there. It's really horrifying.
Was IBM's idea behind that some sort of marketing thing? If we know where you are, there was a Tom Cruise movie like Minority Report, I think, where he's walking through a hallway and the ads actually changed, customized to who he was. Is that what we're talking about?
Precisely.
Potentially?
Yeah, and IBM actually suggested two things. They said, and this was their example, they said they could look in a woman's closed purse, because ultimately what all of these corporations would like to do is replace the barcode with this technology, so every physical object on the planet would contain one of these devices. So in that future, a woman simply walking past a billboard or through a doorway would have her purse essentially laid bare to the marketers, and the example they gave is if she's carrying a baby bottle, then they can modify the billboards to show ads for diapers or baby wipes. And even more disturbingly was when they said that they would like to get this person tracking unit network into the hands of law enforcement so that they could track suspicious persons. And, you know, I don't know about you, Paul, but it seems like ever since September 11th, the government's definition of suspicious person has expanded far beyond the terrorist to include every one of us law-abiding citizens as well.
Yeah, I guess you didn't read the revised Constitution, Catherine. We're all
right.
Suspicious people now.
Exactly. So that's the concern, and this technology makes all of that possible.
Let me take a break, and we will include some phone calls here in a minute. 877-710-CHIRO is the phone number. Dr. Catherine Albrecht is my guest. Her book is called Spy Chips, and we're talking about RFIDs, radio frequency identifiers, that she's worried are going to be put not just in people, but in everything you wear, everything you carry, and people will be able to get your identity and track you everywhere you go. 877-710-CHIRO is the number for the Dave Ross Show with Paul Harris on News Talk 710 CHIRO, now on 97.3 FM.
You're listening to The Dave Ross Show on News Talk 710, Cairo. Now on 97.3 FM.
Hey, this is Ron.
And why wouldn't I be Don?
Give us all three this afternoon from 3 to 6.
But right now, it's The Dave Ross Show
on News Talk 710, Cairo.
Now on 97.3 FM.
I'm Paul Harris, filling in for Dave, and proud to have you along. You're welcome to participate at 877-710-CAIRO, or you can instant message me through the Comcast inbox. Just go to the website, mynorthwest.com, and send me the email that way. Be happy to hear from you. Talking with Dr. Catherine Albrecht, who's a privacy advocate, author of the book Spy Chips, How Major Corporations and Government Plan to Track Your Every Move with RFID. She's also the director of Caspian, the Consumers Against Supermarket Privacy Invasion and Numbering. RFID is a chip that is embedded in all sorts of products and potentially in people, just like they are in animals right now. And if you have one of the new Washington State enhanced driver's licenses, that has an RFID built into it. If you don't use the protective sleeve that the state can give you, then those things can be read, what, up to 20 feet away, Catherine? Is that right?
Well, 20 and even 30 feet away. I mean, frighteningly. Yeah, it really depends on the size of the antenna and a bunch of other factors. But you really don't even need the long read range. If you can get somebody through a narrow area like a doorway, you only really need about a foot on either side of a person to do a scan at that point.
All right, let's go to the phones. In Redmond, here's Scott on News Talk 710 Cairo and 97.3 FM. Hi, Scott. Scott, are you there?
I am here. Thank you. This past week, my family, we went over and got the new enhanced driver's license. And it was kind of interesting. They informed us at the time about the photo identification that would be presented on the identification. And, I took the liberty of turning the page over where I saw the RFID chip information as well, and was a little bit puzzled that they didn't actually be more forthright about explaining the information that was provided on that page as well. My question is, of course, with the sleeve that they did provide and explained, would there still be possibilities of reading information that I might possess on me at the time I might be going past one of the antennas or devices that pick up that information?
Well, that's a great question. And in fact, one of the reasons why the privacy community is so incredibly concerned about this, back in 2003, our organization, Caspian, along with the ACLU, EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, EPIC, the Electronic Privacy Information Center, and others all around the world, in fact, over 40 of the world's leading privacy and civil liberties organizations, after looking very closely at this technology, we issued a position paper on the use of RFID. And one of the things that we flatly condemned was the use of RFID to identify people ever, because the potential for abuse is just so immense there. Now, the fact that they're not telling people in the state of Washington and other border states looking at this as well include Vermont and Arizona and Michigan. And in all of those states, you guys are first. You're the guinea pigs right there in Seattle. You're the guinea pigs up there in Washington. And the rest of the country is kind of watching to see how long it's going to be before actually somebody gets stalked or hurt. One of the biggest opponents of RFID in these border crossing cards are the domestic violence folks. The Center to End Domestic Violence is extremely involved in this. They've submitted testimony. They've contacted the federal agencies, the Department of Homeland Security and others on this, to say that this technology, people are not aware of its tracking capability, and it really opens people up to stalking and other forms of abuse. So that right there, I think, is a key problem. My concern about the sleeve, and I have not actually seen one of these sleeves. I'd love to maybe have you take a digital photo and send it to me so I can check the sleeve out. But my concern about the sleeve is, unless they tell you what risk you're running, unless they're really upfront with you about the very serious dangers of this, then you're not likely to really understand that sleeve is your lifeline of protection between you and being stalked through this technology. So I would say, definitely if you put it in the sleeve, assuming that, I haven't tested it in the laboratory, but I'm assuming if they're marketing it as being, blocking and having a blocking capability, that it actually would prevent that RF signal from being read. Remember, though, that the minute you take it out, and put it on your dashboard, that you are readable from a 30-foot radius in all directions. And so one of the concerns that people have is that, identity thieves might lurk around the border crossing stations and capture people's information as they remove those things from the sleeves and put them on their dashboard. So there's a whole lot of unanswered questions. There's a lot of potential for abuse. And I really think that the state of Washington, the Department of Motor Vehicles up there, and the Department of Homeland Security have been very disingenuous and not up front with the people receiving these licenses, and you're kind of confirming that now.
Plus, Scott, if you're anything like me, you take your driver's license, you put it in your wallet. You keep it in your wallet all the time, right?
Yeah, no, I would never, of course, use a sleeve under normal circumstances.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you the other thing that has me concerned about this is it's not just used for border crossing. You have to present your driver's license all over the place. You have to show it at the bank. You have to show it, in some cases, if you want to use a credit card or cash a check. So every time you remove that driver's license from that sleeve, it's as though you're beaming your identity out in a 30-foot radius. Now, the important thing to bear in mind, you're not beaming your personal identity because what's contained on the chip is a unique ID number. Probably a better analogy would be that you're beaming out the equivalent of your social security number. And anyone who wants to capture it once can capture you after that. You know, if you ID yourself at the store and they know that unique ID number 94873 is Catherine Albrecht, then now that number can be put in a database and that number now represents me in the future. So it really does create the potential for tracking. And I would say that the driver's license is absolutely the wrong thing to put this technology in because it's something you're required to carry with you all the time.
Catherine, I think this is a great subject, and I have lots of callers who want to get in it and ask you questions about them. Can you do another segment with me?
I'd be delighted.
I appreciate it very much. Dr. Catherine Albrecht, her book is called Spy Chips. Her group is called Caspian, Consumers Against Supermarket Privacy Invasion and Numbering. We will talk about the supermarket side of this in the next segment and include plenty of your phone calls as well. 877-710-CHIRO is the number for the Dave Ross Show with Paul Harris on News Talk 710 CHIRO, now on 97.3 FM.
You're listening to The Dave Ross Show on News Talk 710, CHIRO. Now on 97.3 FM.
This is Dory Monson offering 3 hours of outstanding radio entertainment coming up next at noon. But right now, it's The Dave Ross Show on News Talk 710, CHIRO.
Now on 97.3 FM.
I'm Paul Harris, filling in for Dave, and proud to have you along. You're always welcome to be a part of the show through that toll-free number. 877, and by the way, I get emails every once in a while. I called your 800 number and I couldn't get through. That's because we don't have an 800 number. 877-710-CHIRO is the phone number to get in here on News Talk 710 CHIRO, and now on 97.3 FM. It's our fourth day of being on FM, and thanks for the great response. We do appreciate that, and hope you'll tell your friends to make the switch as well to that crystal clear signal on 97.3 FM. During the show, you can get in here at that toll-free number, 877-710-CHIRO, or you can send me an instant message via the Comcast inbox on mynorthwest.com. Talking with Dr. Catherine Albrecht, who's the founder and director of Caspian. That's a consumer privacy group that's been fighting against RFIDs, radio frequency identifier technology, that has become more and more a part of America since she wrote her book a couple of years ago. It's called Spy Chips, How Major Corporations and Government Plan to Track Your Every Move with RFID. She just had a protest this week in New York against the use of RFIDs in fashion. And we've got lots more to talk about, but I want to include some of your phone calls, and let's do that right now with Bernie, who's on a cell phone on News Talk 710 CHIRO and 97.3 FM. Hi, Bernie. Bernie, are you there?
I am. Good morning.
Hi.
Question for you, Doctor. With all the concern over this technology and these devices, is your organization or others pushing legislation trying to ban or otherwise regulate these devices, either at the federal level or in various state legislatures?
Yes. And in fact, right there in the state of Washington, we've got a relatively active chapter of Caspian, our consumer privacy group right there in Washington, where Leslie Michalossi has testified before your state House of Representatives up there several times about this this problem. What we have proposed is a bill that I think is kind of a no-brainer that would at least require people to tell you, you know, companies or government agencies, they would have to tell you, put a label when they placed an RFID tag into or onto something that you bought. And one of the biggest problems with this technology is that because these microchips are so tiny and because the antennas are flat and difficult to perceive, it's possible to hide these things inside of items. We've got photographs of shoes where the RFID tag was sandwiched between the layers of the sole of the shoe so that they would be absolutely imperceptible. You couldn't detect them. You couldn't find them. And even if you could, even if you knew they were in there, you would really have a hard time knowing how to remove it. So what we've tried in probably over 15 states around the country now, I'm losing track, is to get legislation called the Right to Know Act, the RFID Right to Know Act, passed in all those states. And up there in the state of Washington, we tried something very similar. In fact, two bills up there have been introduced and have both been, what happens every time we introduce these is you get a cadre of lobbyists flying in from all over the country. They write out big campaign contribution checks. They get up there and testify and outnumber us immensely and say that essentially, if we tell consumers that the technology is there, they won't buy the products, and then our technology won't take off. And we need this for the economy. We need it for fill in the blank. And they have a whole host of different reasons why they don't want the public to know about it. And unfortunately, until we, the consumer, turn out in huge numbers at protests and begin testifying and standing up and demanding that our legislators pass these laws, the lobbyists are going to continue to win. And, you know, few people realize, when you do polls, I actually did my doctoral research on consumer privacy, and I traveled around the country, and I asked people what they thought of RFID, and I would say 95% of people said RD, huh? They had no idea what it was. And when you describe it to them, not just in my Harvard research, but also in polls that were conducted by the industry, you find that between 70 and 80% of people oppose the technology. So it's not that the public welcomes this. People know, I think people instinctively don't trust government and big corporations to use this responsibly or ethically, but I think they're really running sort of a campaign of silence and keeping this under the radar screen so the public is not aware of it. And I think our last caller signing up for one of these enhanced driver's licenses without even really being fully informed of what the risks are is a case in point.
Bernie, I'm glad you called. Thank you. 877-710-CHIRO is our number. You know, every week, Catherine, we hear a story about some government laptop that got lost or stolen, and it only had 30,000 identifying pieces of information on it. You know, it's either a government laptop or somebody who works for MasterCard or somebody who works for Ameritrade. I mean, and by the way, I'm not going after those companies personally, and I don't have information about them personally, but you always hear about this corporation or that corporation. Oh, TJ Maxx has lost credit card information from 10,000 of its people, and we have a huge problem with personal identifying data that is just not being secured by these corporations or by the government.
Well, and let me give you an example. The CLEAR program, which was the pre-screened traveler program that was supposed to add to our security, they just had a laptop stolen where the criminals actually broke into a locked office and took the laptop. So even if people are behaving responsibly and locking laptops into offices, it's still possible to break into those systems, whether you do it by hacking or just with a crowbar. The real concern here is, let's say that it's estimated now that between 10 and 30,000 Washington state residents are now carrying these incredibly dangerous RFID spy-chipped enhanced driver's licenses. Well, one of the things that the state will tell you is, don't worry about it. It's just a unique ID number. There's no personal information on there. Well, all it takes is for that database to be compromised once, and all 30,000 of those people will then become a number, and anyone who wants to get one of the readers to read this will be able to do it. And let me clarify who can actually read these driver's licenses, because it's shocking. There is no encryption whatsoever. There's no data protection whatsoever. Anyone can take a reader device, an RFID reader device, which you can buy off of eBay, which are in use in Walmart warehouses all around the country, which are in use at all sorts of retailers. Anyone can take one of those out of a warehouse, walk down a street, and scan people at a distance of 20 or 30 feet. You could literally stand in a crowd and do a 360 rotation with one of these things aimed out from you and get back all of the numbers in that vicinity. So it's really, it's not that there's some kind of high-tech device that the government is using that's really hard to access. Anyone can read this, and that's why the domestic violence people are so concerned, because we know that domestic abusers are among the first to adopt new technologies to stalk people.
All right, let's go back to the phones at 877-710-CHIRO. Wally, you're on News Talk 710 Cairo and 97.3 FM. Hello.
Hi, thank you very much. I guess part of my question has been answered. I wondered, you know, what kind of, how can you mask these RFIDs? And is there a way of disabling them? I know that, you know, you get the little rectangular tabs on things in stores and they pass them over a magnetic thing that disables those.
Yeah, it is possible to build these so that they can be disabled. But I'll tell you this, the retailers, especially the clothing and footwear retailers that we were protesting in Manhattan earlier this week, they don't want them disabled. They want them left live because their long-term vision, as we spell out in our book Spy Chips, is to have all of these things functioning as your receipt. So if you did buy the item and then later down the road you wanted to return it or you had a problem with it, then if you disabled the tag, they wouldn't take it back. That's really their long-term goal for this. And one of the other things that, you know, whenever people say we want to disable it, I always say, you know, your better bet is to just not get it in the first place. Mm-hmm. And that's why we've been really pushing for the labeling legislation so that the people who think it's a great idea and want to welcome it, go ahead. That label can be a promotional label for those guys. But for the rest of us who want to protect our privacy, that would be a sign to me that I'd probably want to stay away from that product.
Well,
and that's why they're fighting the labeling, because they know that that's how consumers will respond.
Well, I also think, though, that if they wanted to look at it from the other direction, if they say, well, people won't buy my product if I label it as having an RFID in it, well, if you have a way of disabling that RFID, then people won't care if it's there in the first place. They'll just go home, put it through their disabler, and big deal. I don't care.
Well, I'll tell you the concern that I have about that is in this environment where you've got, a stroke of a pen can change something overnight, as we saw with the Patriot Act and so many things that have happened since September 11th. My concern is if we do move to replace the barcode with remotely readable microchips and give everyone a sense of security that these things will be disabled at the check stand, all it's going to take is to create an overnight Big Brother 1984 surveillance nightmare, is for somebody to write issue an executive order and say, as of tomorrow, it's illegal to disable these tags, and voila, you've now got them on everything. And your privacy goes out the window.
Yep. Wally, I'm glad you called. Catherine, I'm guessing when we talk about anything high-tech, our friends in Redmond have their ears perk up.
Oh, yeah.
Is Microsoft involved in this in some way?
Absolutely. Microsoft is in this up to its eyebrows. I was at a conference sponsored by the privacy commissioners up in Canada. In fact, it was an international privacy commissioner conference that I spoke on a panel there about this technology. And one of the things that really shocked me was that here were all these people getting together to talk privacy, and yet Microsoft was one of the key sponsors of the event. And in the event pavilion where they had it set up, all of their little desks and stuff and tables and promotional displays, Microsoft had a display talking about the uses of RFID in the future. And they were even showing a refrigerator and a countertop where the counter and the refrigerator would know all of their contents and transmit that through the internet, presumably to marketers and others. And that's one of the more disturbing applications of this. I went to a meeting once where an executive said, won't it be great when we'll know every time the consumer takes the lid off the toothpaste in their own bathroom? And, you know, we all kind of our jaws dropped. This was a couple of years back. And he said, yeah, we'll do it by getting people to put the RFID reader devices in their medicine cabinets. And that's something that Microsoft has also been looking into.
You know, when Wally mentioned all of that disabling stuff, I thought, well, he's got a $1 million idea here. Come up with the disabling technology. You get rich in this country.
Well, I think if we lose this battle to prevent it from winding up on things, then I'm with you 100%. But my concern is that if you have a disabler, you create a false sense of security, you allow this business, this industry, which is already over $1 billion have been invested under the radar screen of the average public on this. Already $1 billion have gone into creating huge fabrication plants to crank these things out. My concern is if we become complacent and we allow this stuff on our belongings, then our kids or our grandkids' generation, they're not going to see what the problem is. And when that stroke of the pen comes and they say, okay, well, they're already on everything you own. For security reasons, we need to track people. You know, I just think the disabler at this point is premature. I think the right response is to say, don't put it in my driver's license. Don't put it in my shoes. And if you do, we'll oppose you.
The book is called Spy Chips. It came out a couple of years ago, but it's still a terrific read, kind of an FAQ on everything that Catherine is talking about here today. She is also the director of Caspian, the Consumers Against Supermarket Privacy Invasion and Numbering. And you can find out more about all of these issues on her website, antichips.com. No hyphen in there, by the way, just A-N-T-I, antichips.com. Catherine, it's always a pleasure. Continued good luck with your crusade.
Well, this was a pleasure, Paul, and I also want to refer people to spychips.com and to our free mailing list. We'd be glad to hear from your listeners. Thanks so much.
Dr. Catherine Albrecht here on The Dave Ross Show with Paul Harris on News Talk 710 Cairo, now on 97.3 FM.
You're listening to The Dave Ross Show on News Talk 710 Cairo, now on 97.3 FM.
This is Greg Hirschold
and Jane Shannon
inviting you to start your day with the 710 Cairo Morning News from 5 to 9 a.m.
But right now, it's the Dave Ross Show
on News Talk 710 Cairo.
Now on 97.3 FM.
Thanks again to Catherine Albrecht for coming on and talking about the RFIDs, the RFID technology that is showing up in more and more things you buy. And we didn't even get into the supermarket side of this. One of the things that Microsoft is involved in is partnering with a company called MediaCart to keep track of what you do in the store even more than they do with the your Sam's Club card or whatever loyalty card you may use, where they keep track of everything you buy. This would actually keep track of where you go in a store, where you stop, how long you linger in front of something that you're looking at. This is the 21st century world of hypermarketing, invasive marketing surveillance, Catherine calls it. And I find it fascinating. I just got an email from a listener named Jeff who says he wonders how long it'll be before somebody in Washington State comes up with a wallet that blocks RF signals. For those of us guys who don't want to have to keep our driver's license in the protective sleeve, Jeff works for the Patent and Trademark Office, so he'll be one of the first to know if somebody does come up with a patent or trademark on that. And See, here's the sick part of my mind. I wonder about a guy in a bar with one of these readers knowing if there's a woman in the bar carrying condoms in her purse, knowing, ooh, she's the one I want to hit on tonight. That's just the way my mind works. Next hour, a moral dilemma about gas prices and Seahawks tickets. Here on The Dave Ross Show with Paul Harris on News Talk 710 Cairo, now on 97.3 FM.